Psalm 124, and it's on page 623 of the Church Bibles. A Song of Ascents of David. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Lucille. These are images taken from last Sunday at the end of the Premiership. They were all playing together. And Liverpool at the top left here, and Man City at the bottom. They were fighting to see who would win the Premiership. And the thing that these images, and the other side is Burnley at the top and Leeds United at the bottom. And they were, one side was fighting to win the Premiership, and the right-hand side, they were fighting not to be relegated. It's May's a crazy month where there's so much sport and so many things hang on things. And the thing in these games is there were such tight margins. After playing from August all the way through to May, it was always boiling down to the last few minutes. I mean, you see Liverpool, they're like that again after last night's result as well. They lost two games. But in the space of 5.5 minutes, Man City scored 3 goals and it changed the whole thing completely. So it could have gone either way. Liverpool could have been rejoicing and Man City would have been like that. The other game as well, it was close 1 minute, Burnley's staying up and Leeds are being relegated and so forth. And this was the way it went. Such small margins of victory or sadness. And it was like that. This morning we're looking at more important things than football and being promoted or relegated or qualifying for Europe or whatever, with all the millions that involves and the medals that involves. We're looking at the very difficult times in our life when it's not a football match that's at stake. It's our well-being, our happiness, our joy. But more than that, it's almost like life itself. In this psalm, this is quite a big psalm. This is a very big psalm where the psalmist is looking back at times in his life when things were completely overwhelming, despairing of life itself. Paul, you remember in 2 Corinthians 1, said this, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." Here is God's people despairing even of life itself. These psalms, if you're looking at these psalms, often the theme of the songs of ascent are found in the first verses. If you want to know what it's about, it tells you right at the beginning usually. And that's no exception here. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have. And then you have this whole list of being swallowed up, being chewed alive, in other words, being destroyed. And it's a very intense psalm at a very difficult time, looking back. And that's what we're looking at this morning. We're looking at these songs of ascent. And you remember these 15 songs that they would have sung 3 times a year going up to Jerusalem. Not only is it geographical, rising up to a city, high and lifted up. You know, it's a metaphorical rising. It shows us what the experience of it's like to walk with God and what a mature Christian looks like. And in the Psalms, these 15 Psalms, you have various experiences of life as a Christian. I don't know about you, but you should look forward to looking at each one of these psalms. There will be some psalms you'll think, that's me. That's where I am just now in my pilgrimage with God. That psalm really expresses it for me. If I was singing these 15 songs, that's the song I would probably sing the loudest. And that's what we're looking at. You remember, we looked at the first of these, Psalm 120, where the psalmist, it's a song of repentance. He says, too long have I lived here, and I want to go on a good pilgrimage with God. I really want to walk with the Lord and really serve him. It's a conscious decision that he makes. And then the next psalm, Psalm 121, was a song of help. He realizes that it's not easy to live the Christian life. You need help. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Then, when you know that help, the next psalm is a song of worship. I rejoiced when they said, let us go to the house of God, because God's great. He saved me, he leads me, he guides me, he helps me. And that's why you're here this morning, isn't it? I hope you're not just here because it's Sunday and it's what you have to do, but you're here because God is worthy of praise. He's a good God. Saved you, saved your soul, but helps you daily, helps you on a daily basis. And you're here because you want to do that. And then last time, we realized it's not just singing, that we are servants of God. We are like slaves. He becomes our Lord and our master. We now want to obey him in all the commands and all the imperatives. And we look to him. He is our master. As a slave looks to the hand of its master, so we look to you. And these are all things to do with the Christian life. I'm sure you would agree. This is what it's like to be a Christian. Now you come to Psalm 124. This is different in the sense of Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? When it's anticipating problems. It's wondering what's going, how he's going to survive on this walk, this heavenly pilgrimage that he's on. Psalm 124 is a song of rescue. It's more than just a song of help. It's more than just saying, Lord, will help me get a good job and he'll lead me to a good wife or a husband or whatever. It's a song of rescue. It really is. He's looking back. The psalmist is looking back. The pilgrim's looking back. And he's reflecting on instances of life. And he says, and he says it twice, if the Lord had not been on our side, this would have happened. Life would have been a disaster if the Lord hadn't been on our side. I'm sure you've met many Christians who maybe say to you, I'm going through a hard time, I've been diagnosed with this, or this has happened, my family is this, the wheels have come off, and they might say to you, I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. If it wasn't for the Lord, I'd really struggle. Life would be just without hope. That is this psalm. And it may be that maybe you've never been there in the Christian life as yet, where your Christian life, and often, it can often come to perhaps more mature saints when bad news comes and you just think, how do I cope with this? If the Lord's not missing, and your faith is really tested at that time more than any other time. It's more, you're not just praying for leading and guiding, you're praying for survival. Lord, I'm overwhelmed by everything that's happened. I'm glad there's a psalm like this in the Bible. It is so honest. I don't know how non-Christians wake up and they rely on the newspaper to cheer them up, or their friends, or the TV. We as Christians can claim the psalms as our own, and they have every aspect of life in the psalms. You think times of joy, times of sadness, of fearfulness. And here is a psalm for the darkest times of our life. And we will have this in our pilgrimage. I've been a pastor now for nearly 30 years. I especially remember Northern Ireland, many people who went through such difficult times, especially deaths. The roads in Northern Ireland killed more people than the guns and the bullets did during the times of the Troubles. Many young people died on the roads of Northern Ireland. And to go into a family where everything was okay and suddenly a son or a daughter is lying there. Times of darkness and a time of coming through that. And this psalm is a psalm that very much looks back. The psalmist is looking back, because note that it's past tense. If the Lord had not been on our side, this would have happened. It's looking back to the felt, known experience of God. And often when these things happen, you're just holding on. You're hoping that the Lord's on your side. You're hoping that you're going to come out the other side. But it's only in hindsight that you look back and think, if the Lord hadn't done this, I would have been lost. And this is what's happening here. The psalmist knows times of darkness, but knows times of great deliverance. And it's causing him to praise the Lord. So I want to, just in the moments that remain, just to look at this psalm together. I have 2 points. I want us to ask ourselves, and I think this is a good thing to ask, what if? Imagine what if the Lord was not on your side. The Lord was not working for you in various ways. Look at verse 2 and 3. It's a call to the nation. This isn't not just so much personal. He says, if the Lord had not been our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. In other words, it's a real heartfelt cry to God's people in total to consider God's goodness to them as a nation. Look, think Israel. Think of the times when we could have been smitten and wiped out, and give thanks to God. And that's what it's here. Look at this. When people, verse 2 and 3, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. Here is David crying out. And if you know anything of your Old Testament, I'm just finished reading the life of David in my own devotions. Loved every bit of it. But you remember there's a time when the Philistines came very close to wiping out this young nation just beginning to be formed. Saul and Jonathan were killed, and they now turn their attention to David and to the nation in the valley of Rephaim, and the Lord delivers them. And you can easily see why they incorporated this in to these 15 songs. We need to put that in. There was a time when the Philistines tried to wipe us out completely. And so you could see why they would put this in. Israel have always had enemies, whether it's the Philistines or the Babylonians or the Assyrians or the Greeks or the Romans, Persians. They've always had people trying to annihilate them, try to wipe them off the face of the earth. And the only hope that they've ever had is in God. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been swallowed up, chewed up, spat out. And that's what's happening here. Now, we can apply this to us physically as well. God's people have always been under threat from outside, enemies of Jesus, enemies of the church. Countries today are persecuting Christians for their faith. Christians are martyred and so forth. Even in our own country, perhaps we are persecuted because of the things we believe. We hold to God's word. We tell people they need to repent, they need to believe. Now, not to the same extent of this. They're not wiping us out. I don't think at this point in time, certainly, the Church of Jesus Christ in the UK is not in danger of extinction. But there is opposition there. And yet, left to ourselves, the Church of Jesus Christ would be swallowed up. And it's good to stop and to realize that. What if the Lord was not working with us in the spread of the gospel? In church life, in keeping a witness in this end of Crichton Avenue, if the Lord was not on our side, we would be swallowed up. And that is what this is. Let Israel say. And it's good to rejoice in this. Rejoice in the church, universal. Rejoice in the gospel that still continues to be spread 2,000 years after Jesus. Despite persecutions, the history of the church, it still flourishes. They have not, the devil would seek to destroy it, and it still goes on. What if spiritually, think of your own salvation. The Lord has saved you. We are a nation of people, God's holy nation, a kingdom of priests unto God. Now you imagine if the Lord, as a church, but also as individuals, was not on our side. You imagine if the Lord never saved us, we would be eternally punished. Not just punished, the wrath of God would remain on us, not on his son. Do you ever stop and just think, what if? What if the Lord never sent his son? What if he never drew up a plan before the foundation of the world and sent his son at Christmas time when we rejoice in this? What if he never did this? Showed us grace and mercy and compassion. We would have been swallowed up in grief and pain and suffering. What if Jesus had given up in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, "My will be done, not yours"? What if he didn't go to the cross? What if he didn't die in our place? What if the Lord didn't grant us repentance and faith and give us new birth and the Holy Spirit? If he didn't do this, we would be swallowed up. We would be without hope. What if he doesn't forgive you daily your sins when you come and you have disappointed him during the week and you've said something and you've failed and you've not loved the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind and strength every day, that great commandment that's over all commandments? If he never forgave you that, if we gathered round the Lord's table and we did this in remembrance of him and we come and we said, "Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner who's not always walked as a good pilgrim." What if he never forgave us on a daily basis? It's good to stop, and this psalm is causing us to stop. Think of the times when you have sinned against God, or you just felt overwhelmed by something and your walk with him, and you know he's forgiven you, faithful and just to forgive you all your sins. Remember the joy of that. "Lord, I thank you that you don't beat me. You're not flogging me. You quickly forgive. You run to me like the father and the prodigal son, and you wrap your arms around me." You've known that experience. That's what the psalmist is doing. If the father hadn't run to me on a daily basis and forgiven me, I'd be crushed in my spirit. Where would I be? And this is what the psalmist is causing us to do. Let all Israel say this. Where we would be if the Lord hadn't interceded for us. Remember Simon, who thought he was strong. "I'll never deny you." And the Lord says to him, "Simon, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail." I wish the Lord could show me the times the Lord has prayed for me. Remember that day, John, you stood? That wasn't because of you. That was because I prayed for you. And if I hadn't prayed for you, you would have crumbled. Your faith would have been in the gutter. What if the Lord never interceded for you and me at a personal level? It's good to stop. And this psalm causes us to do that. To think of what life would be like if the Lord had not been on our side. What about the devil? The devil, we are told, roams, he prowls around, 1 Peter 5, like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, to swallow you up completely, not to give you a wee nip, not to frighten you, but to actually devour you. Yet we are told that greater is he who is in us than greater is than he who is in the world. And we rejoice in this. What if the Lord hadn't defeated death? The grave. I discovered at the cemetery, you remember at Easter time, I mentioned that the cemetery around the corner, that is the biggest cemetery in the UK, I discovered. Not in its landmass, it's two cemeteries joined together, but in terms of the number of bodies interned there, there's over 1 million people in that graveyard. What if the Lord had not defeated death? I do many funerals, and one of the easiest ways or thing, greatest things about doing a funeral is you come with hope. Imagine if there was no hope. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And even when facing death, David says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me." And it's what if none of these things were true? Wow. That we would be devoured, we would be swallowed up in a daily basis. But the Lord is for us. He comes as our substitute. I showed you the football. If you were, I think it was one of the Gundogan, I think it was, of Man City. Cause is lost, bring on a substitute, bump, couple of goals scored, trophies held high. We had no trophy to hold high. None whatsoever. Nothing to boast in. Lost. Causes lost. Games lost. We're in tears. There is no hope. The Lord sends a substitute on. One to die in our place. To do for us what we cannot do. To die in our place to fulfill the law for us. He causes us to rejoice. What if the Lord was not for us and did not send His Son? We would be lost. And you have that great passage in Romans 8, don't you? All things work together for good. If God is for us, there is Romans 8:31. Who can be against us? God is for you. He's on your case. He is for you. It's quite something. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, things present, things in the future, powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If the Lord had not been on our side, let John say, let East Finchley Baptist say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when all these things happened, we would have been devoured. So that's the first thing. What if our enemies were against us, or we were our own worst enemy? The second thing under the what if, another image is given here, is this image of a flood submerging its victims. Look at verse 4. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent have swept us over. The emphasis here, he's not just finding another way to say the same thing. He's emphasizing something different, a flood. When we get a flood here, sometimes we don't know so much rain. It can rain. And if it rains for a long time, maybe the river in York might burst its banks. And it's the same folk they interview every year saying, how do you feel about your shop being flooded? And you think, well, it happened last year. You're only yourself to blame. You choose to live there. But the emphasis here is because in Palestine at the time, the sun, it bakes the very shape of the land, the geography of the land, the soil goes hard, all the wee gullies are, it's almost like a funnel, just the very shape of it. When it rains, the floods come within minutes. And you don't get that here. It can rain for a week, and I've never sat in Creighton Avenue thinking, been raining for a good couple of hours. I better get the water wings on and make sure I don't drown. It's just not going to happen. But there it does. And that's the whole point. Jesus, remember, mentioned this. The floods, the rain came and the floods grew, talking about the person who built his house. But they would have known rain comes and it changes very quickly. Here is a situation where life suddenly changes, where life is threatening and something happens and your life suddenly changes. It's a torrent. Look at the words. The flood would have engulfed us. Something's happening. It's happened very quickly. You had no warning. You're minding your own business. It's a good May Sunday afternoon and something happens. Have you ever had that? I remember the first time I experienced death. I'd experienced uncles and so-and-so dying and until my mother died. And I remember thinking I couldn't believe the effect it had on me. It's as if somebody punched you in the stomach. You just feel ill, you feel sick, your whole world is just, you just can't, it's a life-changing situation. And maybe some of you still have to, you've never gone through that. You do not know what that's like yet. Or it might be a death of a loved one. As I say, as a pastor, I've met with families whose son or daughter has been taken violently from them. You can't imagine the grief and the sorrow. It's more than just failing an exam. But this time when something sudden happens and your whole world is literally turned upside down, and you really think, I don't know how I can face the next day. I don't know how I can get out of my bed. The future is black. This is this. This overwhelming. The words here are very, very graphic. It's this would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. Engulfed, swept over. But notice what the final part of this whole engulfing is right at the end of verse 5, or in verse 5. The raging waters would have swept us away. You don't just get a good soaking like rubber dinghy rapids and thing. But look at me, I get soaked, I get engulfed. You're actually swept away. You are destroyed in this. It's such a serious, overwhelming time. It's very graphic. You're not just wet. It's not just swept over you. It actually sweeps you away. We would have been swept away. Raging waters. And here is the pilgrim, therefore, facing something very sudden, very dramatic change in their circumstances that engulfs them, that sweeps them away. And perhaps you know this. Perhaps you can point to a time and say, Pastor, see that psalm you read this morning? Unless the Lord had been at my help. I know that. I know exactly what the psalmist, I've been there. When this life was okay and suddenly this happened, and it's really just taken the wind right out of my sails. I really struggled to just cope. I couldn't cope. I was in medication. I was this, the scriptures. I was reading them. And I can say this, Pastor, unless the Lord had been there, only He would have kept me on an even keel. Do you want a God who's there for that time? We need a God who is there, a Savior, who didn't just save us on the cross, but saves us as a pilgrim, as we walk with Him. He's still in the saving business. Not just, I did this 2,000 years ago, but He saves us in life's harshest moments. Maybe it's you, maybe it's your health, maybe a time when you, or maybe this is still too, maybe this psalm is not yours just now, but at some time you'll sit with a doctor and they'll say, we've got your results back. I'm sorry, but it's not good. It might be your son or your daughter that hears that. It might be you. You will need a God. Unless He's on your side, you will have been swept away. Circumstances, maybe it's wealth, your job, your security, everything's going fine, but the whole life is turned upside down. Relationships, maybe it's your faith. Your faith was strong as an ox, you thought you were doing okay, but suddenly doubts have come in, and you never thought you would doubt the existence of God, and you struggled in that moment. And unless the Lord caused these scriptures to light up for you and come alongside you and put His arms around you, you would have been swept away. Do you know anything of that? The times when you've said, Lord, where are you? Like the psalmist does, very real, the psalms. And the Lord came along and tenderly said, I love you. I'm there. I care for you. I'm with you through all of this. Times in life where you just feel death would be easy. I'm amazed at the number of people who think of suicide at times in their life. It would surprise me if there are many folk here at some time have done it. Maybe done it regularly, maybe once a year, once a month. You look at your life and you think, life is just rubbish. Life is hard. Unless the Lord had been on my side, I wouldn't know joy. I wouldn't know His help and strength and cause for rejoicing. This is a big psalm. The psalm's not me. He's looking back at a time when it was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. I would have been swept away. Perhaps you have known times like this. It looks back. And the scary thing is in this, it doesn't happen in a weekend. Sometimes something can happen and it takes weeks and months and years before you can say if the Lord had not been on our side. You've just been clinging to Him and you hope that the Lord is going to bring deliverance and the sun's going to shine again. Many Christians know this. Periods of darkness going through a tunnel. Why me, Lord? And then when you come out, Lucille and I have adopted a wee phrase of late, and when you go through difficulties, the story has not been told yet. The story's not complete. The Lord is working a narrative in your life, and it's very easy to think that's the story. This is it. This is the end of the story. And you think, the Lord's not finished. The story is still unfolding. You're only at chapter 4, and there's chapter 40. You need to to trust in him. And it's hard to say that these words at that time, because the psalmist is looking back. At the time, it's fearful. And he might know something of it in it, but as you look back, if the Lord had not been on our side, it would have destroyed. And that's this, what's happening here. The other picture, look at the other picture, verse 6. Praise be to the Lord, it's not us, let us be torn by their teeth. This is an animal grinding away on a carcass. I don't know if you've ever been threatened by a bite. I've been bitten by a dog once. And I remember in my last church, walking, hill walking, and going by a kennel where there was about 40 dogs, wee things, ferocious things, all. And whoever designed this path, it's a well-known public path, this is the highway you have to go. It takes you right by this fence. There's no other way to go. And the dogs are here. They're inches away from you. And I'm thinking, who in their right mind thought this was a good place to walk in? I'm looking at the hedge. I couldn't get through that way. I had to go that way. And the only way was through this bit next to the big snarling dogs. And lo and behold, they were all feeding off each other. You bark, I'll bark. And lo and behold, one of them managed to get over the fence. I couldn't believe it. And it was this big Alsatian. And I'm standing there thinking, woe is me, I am toast. And the most remarkable thing happened. This big dog, they were all barking, feeding off each other. Yeah, let's get this guy. The minute this dog jumped over, it was as if, I'm here myself, where are you? And it just stood there. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, for that. And I remember walking on thinking, and then the owner finally comes out. Really sorry about that. Is the fact that this dog managed to go over this 6 foot high fence and it was there and never did anything. But here is a scenario where you are getting chewed up. You're getting chewed up. And this is what's happening here. We would have been torn by their teeth. A bit like David and Daniel in the lion's den. Remember, Darius expected Daniel to be chewed up. Really, and he comes to him and he says, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel could have said, like this psalmist, if the Lord had not been on my side, I would have been torn by their teeth. He could have said this. He could have quoted this verse very easily. Instead, he says, God sent his angel, he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong to you, your majesty. Times when the Lord in his faithfulness comes to his faithful saints, when all is lost and is able to restore and to help and to protect. It's a great image. If the Lord was not on our side, we would have been drowned, we would have been overwhelmed, we would have been torn apart. And then lastly, the last picture is a bird trapped in a look at verse 7, in a snare. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Somebody perhaps caught off guard. The Bible tells us it's sin. Lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. Here is the Lord delivering us from the power of sin or whatever. You can apply that as you see fit. But here is somebody caught, minding his own business, snap. Oh, I've been caught in the fowler's snare. Who's going to rescue me? Doom, destruction, but we escape. How many times have we escaped things that perhaps were going to come our way? What if? There will be times, and I hope that they are few, where we might feel swallowed up. We might feel submerged. We might feel as if we're going to be torn apart. We might feel trapped in a situation, in a snare, and we don't know where to turn. All with the feeling of no way out. That is how serious this is. Imagine if the Lord had not been on our side. And in all of this, the Lord is on our side, but he's on our side by grace. Please remember that. He's not on our side because we deserve it. So you might feel, and it's good that you own that, because If you feel that you've done well and the Lord's on your side, but even if you've done poorly, the Lord is still on your side. I love that image in Joshua chapter 5. Do you remember Joshua? He draws near Jericho. He looks up and sees a man. I love this image. He sees a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. I just love that image. Guy standing there with a sword just drawn. And he says to him, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And remember what he says? "Neither," he replied, "but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." I just love that. The Lord is, it's always by grace. Lord, he's always on his side, but he loves you. He loves you. You cannot earn this. Lastly, the end result of this, and I'm finishing in a minute or two, praise the Lord. We have to praise the Lord. We need to be aware. We need to live this psalm. We need to constantly reflect back. And we often do this at Thanksgiving service, don't we? Harvest, a time to look back. But not just thanking the Lord for the food and the clothing and the birds and the bees, but to thank him for his goodness to us, for the times when he's delivered us, where we say, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would have perished. But the Lord has been on our side, therefore we will praise him. And that's what's happening here. One of the commentators says, "Sometimes there is little genuine thanksgiving to God expressed by Christian people. It is not heard in our everyday speech very often." I wonder if you agree with that commentator. We don't often say, "Let me tell you how the Lord has really, really helped me this week. This happened, I despaired, and he came in." We don't often talk like that, do we? We ask, "How's your work going? How's the family?" But we don't often share the times when the Lord... And yet we must, verse 6, "Praise be to the Lord." That is what we must do. And it's a most amazing thing. If God was not rescuing us or protecting us or providing for us, helping us, there would be despair. There would be misery. There would be death. But he loves us and he cares for us. As I said earlier, there's no literature. Here's a quote from one of the commentators. "There's no literature in all the world that is more true to life and more honest than the Psalms. For here we have warts and all religion. Every skeptical thought, every disappointing venture, every pain, every despair that we face is lived through and integrated into a personal saving relationship with God. A relationship that also has acts of praise." And I like this. "Good poetry survives not only when it's pretty or beautiful or nice, but when it's true, accurate, and honest." I don't know about you, I'm not into poetry, but give me poetry that's honest and real. I like that poetry. "I wandered lonely as a cloud." I don't quite know what that's about, but this, I know what this is about. I know what this is about. I know what the Psalms are about. "Because on my pilgrimage, I live as the psalmist lived. The walk is similar." It's very similar. So praise the Lord. Look back, brothers and sisters, to God's goodness. Praise him. Give him thanks for who he is. Thank him for what he's done in the past and trust him for what he can do in the future as he leads and guides. Let's close by singing. It's Christ, the sure and steady anchor.